question for you. When was the last time you rebalanced your investment portfolio? That long, huh? Well, maybe it's time you did. I am Rob West. If you're a do-it-yourself investor and not working with a financial advisor, you need to periodically look at asset allocation. Mark Biller is here today to talk us through the process. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Let me just say right here at the outset, we will be taking your calls in this first portion of the broadcast specifically on investing, whether you want to talk about rebalancing the markets, your portfolio, whatever it might be. Mark Biller here to answer those questions. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Mark is, of course, a good friend of ours. He's executive editor at Soundmind Investing and underwriter of this program. Once a month, he leaves that corner office and joins us here on the program. I know it's one of our favorite days, Mark. Great to have you back with us.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you, Rob.
All right, so portfolio rebalancing, asset allocation. These are terms, of course, people hear but don't always know what they mean. So can you share what exactly it means to allocate your portfolio or, for that matter, rebalance it?
Yeah, those are great questions, Rob. You know, these are foundational investing ideas, but you're right that people don't always know exactly what they mean. So when we talk about asset allocation, all we're talking about there is how much of your portfolio gets invested in each type of asset. And the two big asset classes for most people are stocks and bonds. Now, of course, you can branch out into a dozen other things, gold, crypto, real estate, and on and on and on. And there are different types of stocks and different types of bonds. But for most people, the fundamental asset allocation decision is simply how much do I put in stocks and how much do I put in bonds? And that target allocation becomes your starting point and kind of your benchmark going forward. Now, when we move over to portfolio rebalancing, that's just the process of getting your current portfolio back to those target allocations. And the reason that you have to think about that is that over time, certain parts of your portfolio are always going to do better than others. So your portfolio is going to gradually drift away from your target or your starting allocation. And this rebalancing process just occasionally brings you back into alignment with that original target. So quick example probably be helpful.
Sure.
You know, if you start with a $100,000 portfolio, and let's just keep it really, really simple. We split that 50-50 between stocks and bonds. Then let's say that stocks have a really good year and they go up 10%, and bonds have a terrible year and they lose 10%. Well, at the end of the year, you're still going to have the same $100,000 in your portfolio, but your stocks have gone up in value to $55,000. Your bonds have gone down in value to $45,000. So instead of that 50-50 split that you started with, now you have a 55-45 stock-bond split. So rebalancing would have you take that money out of stocks, put it into bonds to get your allocation back to your original target of 50-50.
Yeah, that's helpful. So a lot of the initial asset allocation decision really boils down to how much risk you're willing to take, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to consider your goals, your risk tolerance, and determining those original percentages and how you're going to weight your portfolio between stocks and bonds. Now, we're usually going to include your age, how long you have until retirement in that process, because someone with a lot of years before they're going to need to draw on their investments can usually take more risk than somebody with a shorter time horizon. And that whole risk assessment process is usually one of the very first things that an advisor or a service like SMI is going to take somebody through in order to arrive at that appropriate asset allocation target. Again, that's your starting point for this whole investing process. So we, of course, have a step-by-step process for that on our SMI website.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, Mark Biller here today. We're talking about asset allocation and specifically rebalancing your portfolio. And this has become really apparent, the need for this, in light of what happened last year with bonds. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about perhaps how often you need to do that. And we'll take your questions today on anything investing related for Mark Biller. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. A quick break and back with much more.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Every new year brings with it things we wish we could avoid, but also things we look forward to. And in 2024, for Americans, there's a big election coming up. Maybe you look forward to that. Maybe you wish you could avoid it. Or maybe you're indifferent altogether, but regardless, the Bible has something to say to you about how to live as a Christian during moments like this. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." So if you're talking with fellow believers, strive for peace. Seek unity in the gospel. Build up one another in the faith. Grow in your walk with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Horrific attacks on Israel, rising global tension, and civil unrest in America are causing people to wonder, are we living in the end times? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a six-part study providing biblical answers to frequently asked questions about the future. Join us for the brand new series, Are We Living in the End Times? On Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure. That's what we do here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio each day. We're joined today by our good friend Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. When you're there, check out SMI's 2024 Rebalancing Guide. That's the article that we're exploring today as we talk about asset allocation and more specifically this idea of rebalancing, which is particularly appropriate right now, just given what we went through last year, especially with bonds, but also with stocks. And Mark, before the break, you gave us a great example of what this looks like. So once a person has an appropriate target asset allocation, that's when we turn to this idea of rebalancing. That accomplishes a couple of different things, doesn't it? Explain what an investor gains by rebalancing.
Yeah, it does, Rob. So, you know, again, it's important that the investor first determines that target allocation really thoughtfully, because that's going to be the plumb line that we're going to be trying to get back to over and over again. That's kind of the ideal, how they should be positioned. And if they set that correctly, then what it really means if the portfolio moves away from that target is now the portfolio has a different level of risk than what the person judged was really the ideal or appropriate amount of risk at the outset. That's really what this whole thing is all about, is keeping your risk level in line with where it ought to be. And so that's really our number one goal and the biggest thing that we get out of rebalancing. But there is kind of a secondary benefit, and that is that by occasionally rebalancing, that actually helps us with that ever elusive goal of trying to buy low and sell high. It's really difficult for people to do that, but this is kind of a way to automate that. So if we think about the example we just used, if we're trimming from our stocks after they've gone up a lot and we're putting that money back into bonds after they've gone down, well, that's a subtle way of taking advantage of when the market goes through temporary price spikes and offers us temporary price discounts, because we're naturally going to be doing more of our selling near tops and more of our buying near bottoms if we're following this occasional rebalancing discipline.
Yeah. And of course, there's a vivid example of that right now in the markets, isn't there?
Yeah, there sure appears to be, because all of the big stock market indexes were surprisingly strong last year. They're setting new all-time highs even this week. And at the same time, we've seen bonds just go through one of their worst three-year stretches that we've seen in many decades. So if we take that just at face value, it would seem like this is a pretty good time to be trimming from our stocks when they're near all-time highs and adding money to bonds after a really tough stretch for that asset class. And hopefully in doing that, we're selling high in stocks, we're buying low in bonds. Of course, with rebalancing, you never really know until later on if prices were actually near highs or lows. Yeah. But we do know that if we're following this discipline, and this is a part of our investing process over many years, well, we're going to tend to be able to take advantage of those opportunities, even if we're not always able to recognize them in the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we'll continue to unpack this, including where an advisor fits in. We'll also talk about how often you need to rebalance with Mark Biller today. But let's take some questions. We've got some lines open today for your investing-related questions in this portion of the broadcast. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Your questions for Mark Biller today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Rose. How can we help you? Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you
Great.
Hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I was calling to find out what the body of Christ thinks about what's happening with the baby boomers, people that are on fixed incomes. They're talking about banks collapsing. So what the person, the government controls the flow of the money that's coming in. So how is that going to affect so many elderly people? And what do you think about the banks collapsing?
Yeah, Mark, obviously a lot there. I mean, you know, she's talking about the money supply, the Federal Reserve, of course, the banking system. Somebody in this season of life is counting on, obviously, their, you know, dividend checks or their yields from their bonds. Through a biblical worldview, how would you think about the heart of this question?
Yeah, there's a lot there. It's a good question, Rose. It's something we definitely need to keep our eye on. And, you know, it plays into the election and all of those types of issues as well. You know, I guess the first thing, Rob, that I would point out is, you know, we had that scary time last March where we had two or three banks that ran into trouble. And the government was very quick to act to put a ring fence basically around those handful of institutions to keep the problem contained. Even the depositors at those specific institutions were made whole because of the government coming in to support the banking system. So I guess the first thing that I would say is, while there certainly is, no shortage of risks to the financial system and the banking system. To this point, the government has made it clear that they're going to do everything that they can to keep the banking system strong and to keep it operating smoothly. So I think that that's some comfort to people who are relying on that. Of course, there are policies that have been in place for many, many years. The FDIC insurance, for example, that guarantees deposits up to a certain point. So I guess, I'm not particularly concerned that the government is just going to let the banking system crumble or anything like that. I think that there certainly are issues in terms of the choices we're making to borrow as much as we are and to spend as much as we are at a time when arguably we don't need to be doing that. We're running recession-type deficits today when we don't have a recession. And that probably isn't a good idea, and that could come back to bite us down the road. But I don't know that that necessarily means it's going to happen in a catastrophic way. I would prefer myself if the government was managing their finances more like we try to help people on this program manage their personal finances. But those are, those are the big picture decisions that we have elections over. How are we going to handle our national finances? So, Rob, those are my thoughts. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would wholeheartedly agree. I think we're in a different situation today than we were in 2008, 2009, where we did have some systemic problems in the banking system. The reserves are up. I think just at a macro level, our economy is still the biggest and the strongest. I think we need to constantly remind ourselves that our trust is in the Lord, not in the U.S. government, not in even our employer. It's the Bible's clear. The power to create or make wealth comes from the Lord. So we trust Him implicitly. And really, it's about managing what comes through our own economy, spending less than we earn, avoiding debt, having long-term goals, giving generously, living within our means. I mean, those are essential. Doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand. So if we have bigger problems down the road, we need to stay attuned to those as well. Rose, thanks for your call. Back with Mark Biller right after this. Stick around.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people. We develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA Action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking rebalancing your portfolio. Have you seen some moves in your portfolio? Maybe you had a bond allocation, and because of what happened last year, you now have a much higher percentage in stocks. Rebalancing is what gets you back to your target asset allocation so you don't take unnecessary risk. In just a moment, Mark will talk about how often you do that and the role of a financial advisor. But we're also taking your questions today related to your investment portfolio or the markets, the economy. Questions for Mark Biller today at 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Wyoming. Hi, Russ. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So my question is this, and you might have to correct my thinking, but I believe I've heard it said that the returns from the stock market over the past 50, 60 years has been around 15%. And over the next 10 years, the perception is they're looking at maybe a 5 or 6% return. And for a guy who's hoping to retire in 10 years, how do you allocate for that? What's the thoughts there? And am I correct in my thinking?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mark?
I probably would adjust those numbers just a little bit. Over the last 10 or so years, we've had higher than normal stock returns. But if we look back over several decades, you've pretty much had around a 9 to 10% type of return from the stock market. And I think probably what you've been hearing, which, you know, we've talked about it on some of our past programs here as well, is that with stock market valuations being very high today on a historical basis, when we look at some of the ratios and the ways that we measure how richly the market is valued, stocks are they look pretty expensive compared to much of history. And we also know from stock market history that when you have a starting point where stocks seem expensive like this, that future returns tend to be lower than average. So the general idea of your question, Russ, is exactly right, that we very well could be in for a period that has lower stock market returns than are expected. Now, the first thing I would say is you need to take those types of predictions with kind of a big grain of salt, because after the financial crisis coming out of 2008-2009, a lot of people were saying we were going to have a slow economy and a slow stock market at that point, too. It turned out that was actually a great generational buying opportunity, and we've had very, very strong returns since. So I would just counsel people, you know, the way that I think you use that type of information appropriately, Russ, is just to understand that stocks may be a little bit higher risk than usual right now. And so you want to factor that in, but that doesn't mean you want to run from them. You don't want to change everything that you know about investing just because you know you might be coming in at a high point. The time that you have to invest is a big part of this, but a lot of times people only measure that until their retirement date. And I would also suggest that for most people, when they hit retirement, they're probably going to need to keep their investments growing for at least two more decades after that. So if you're in a situation where you're a decade away from retiring, and then you're looking at a couple decades beyond that, Well, you're going to have several more of these bull and bear cycles. And so I guess the big picture that I would try to convey there, Russ, is probably don't make too much of that information. You know, it's something that you keep in the back of your mind, and maybe it's kind of a fine-tuning piece to maybe adjust your risk a little bit. But for the most part, you want to stick with your long-term asset allocation like we're talking about today. And that, for someone who's got, you know, two or three decades of investing ahead of them, needs to still incorporate, you know, a decently high stock allocation so that that money can grow and can outperform inflation and keep your purchasing power growing. Rob, those are my thoughts. You're thinking here?
Well, I think you're spot on, Mark, and I think that was really helpful context for historical returns and why the consensus is we may be in for some lower returns, but don't throw everything out the window just because we don't know what we don't know. But let me just ask a follow-up question then. So to take Russ's question to even a more granular level, if the asset allocation for a typical approaching retiree is 60-40, 60 bonds, 40 stocks, and obviously you need to work with an advisor to determine the appropriate allocation for you. I'm not saying it's a one-size-fits-all, but let's say that was the allocation. In light of what you just said about what might be or likely possible over the next decade, would you make any adjustments to that, or would you just stick with what you would have done, let's say, 10 or 20 years ago?
Yeah, for an individual doing this on their own, say in their 401k, I wouldn't make any adjustments based on this this topic.
Yeah.
Now, I think where that comes into play, Rob, is more like somebody like SMI that's using some active strategies.
Yeah.
We might weight that a little more in our consideration of if we're going to be more aggressive or more conservative. But that's a really difficult game for an individual to play, and I don't encourage them to try to do that. So I would stick with those long-term allocations. And, you know, again, if you've got two or three decades, you're really making the prediction, if you will, that a lot of that is going to come out in the wash. And maybe the next 5 years you are making lower returns, but then you're going to have a period of higher returns at some point down the road that's going to offset that.
Yeah, very good. Russ, thanks for your call, sir. I hope that was helpful to you. Well, we're up against our next break here. Mark will be back for one more segment. And so if you have questions today on the markets or your investments, we'd love for you to give us a call today, 800-525-7000. When we come back, we'll find out how often you should be rebalancing if you're a do-it-yourself investor, the role of a financial advisor in all of this as well. I'll also get Mark's take on where the stock market is right now, some real strength at the end of the year and even into this year as well. Back with more with Mark Biller just around the corner. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful you joined us today for Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more about this topic of rebalancing and asset allocation when you visit soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for the article we've been discussing today, which is SMI's 2024 Rebalancing Guide. We'd love for you to check it out. Now, Mark, going back to this topic for a moment, conventional wisdom seems to be that investors might do this rebalancing once a year, but how exact does it need to be?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to rebalancing, this is kind of a close enough is good enough kind of a topic, which, yeah, you know, not everything in investing is that way, but this is. You don't have to do this on a super strict schedule. You know, about once a year is great. A lot of people just automatically do that in January because it's a good reminder to get that done. And, you know, I would also encourage people, Rob, for most people who don't have a lot of different types of assets in their accounts, this is a pretty simple, straightforward process. You know, most people are just going to log into their company 401k account online. They're going to make a few quick calculations and then sell a thing or two here, buy a thing or two here, and they're done. So this is not a super difficult thing. Now, it gets a little more complicated if you've got multiple accounts and you've got more diversification into other types of assets. But the main thing is we're just trying to get the account back close to your initial targets. Yeah. You definitely don't have to sweat this to 5 decimal points or anything, you know, that precise.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, Mark, something an advisor would typically do for you if you're not doing it yourself, right?
Yeah, it sure is. This is one of the conveniences of having somebody else handle your investing for you. There are also some other approaches to rebalancing that can sometimes be a little bit preferable than just automatically doing it once a year the way we're talking about. But for most people, what we're describing today, that's plenty. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's head back to the phones here. Deborah's in Texas. Deborah, how can we help?
Yes, sir. I'm a little bit confused about Roth IRAs with 401k type situation with work. I have a separate one at a bank, and I've never been asked about how to where the funds need to go. Like in the 401k, they're asking me to choose some mutual funds for that.
Okay. So you have a 401k, but it's the Roth 401k. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And you're putting money in every month through salary deferral?
Yes.
Okay. And they're asking you which mutual funds you want to put the money in, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Mark, how do you counsel somebody just on these options?
Yeah. So With both a 401k or a Roth IRA, you have the choice of how you want to invest the money once the money is inside that account type. Now, it could be that at your bank, Deborah, they are just automatically making those decisions for you, but it's certainly worth asking them, you know, what am I actually invested in within the Roth IRA at the bank? If it's a really low-yielding, you know, savings-type product, then you might want to look at that and decide, is that really what I want inside this tax-deferred account? Because your Roth IRA can be anywhere. You can have a Roth IRA with a broker like Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard and invest in the exact same types of investments that you are being asked to choose from within your 401k. So, you know, certainly for a younger person who's saving, you know, many decades for retirement, I typically would not say that a bank Roth IRA is usually the best choice because they want more growth. They want those stock mutual funds and so forth. Now, it could be that your bank also offers those, so you don't want to automatically assume that you don't want to be there. You just want to ask and find out what your options are. Because like you said, Deborah, if they've never asked you, well, somebody's making that decision of how to invest the money in that Roth IRA. And you need to know that you have a full range of options. Now, maybe you don't at that bank, but you can move the Roth IRA if you don't like the options being offered to you at the bank. The biggest thing is whether it's a Roth IRA or a 401k, those are just that's an account type. That's a wrapper on the account. And once you're in the account, you can choose different investments. Yep. So it's not like you're investing in the Roth IRA. You're putting money in a Roth IRA to invest in whatever it is that you want, stocks, bonds, CDs, and so on. Does that help, Deborah?
Yes, it does. I just was unclear as to how all that actually worked, and I've tried to look online and really couldn't get a clear answer on that.
Yeah, Mark, let me just ask a follow-up here, specifically related to her 401k. How do you advise folks? Do you find that the plan administrator can be helpful in her understanding the menu of choices and the best funds for her based on her age and risk tolerance? Does she need to get help from an outside advisor to evaluate those? If she just doesn't understand what those funds are inside the 401k, what's her next step?
Yeah, I think the first step is usually to, you know, check the website, see if there's good information there. If that doesn't help, then potentially you might be able to talk to somebody in human resources at your own company and see if they have any insight to offer. And then, you know, another option would be, you know, a service like we have at SMI, we talk about those types of things at great length across our website. So that could be another option. Of course, if you have an advisor or you want to talk to an advisor, that's certainly right in their wheelhouse as well. So you do have some options there.
Very good.
And of course, with the bank IRA, I would just, you know, call somebody and talk to them or go into the bank and ask to talk to somebody there about what you have in that account.
Excellent. Deborah, thanks for your call today. Mark, just a few moments left. Give us your take on just what's happening in the market right now. You know, we're in an election year, obviously a lot of headwinds out there, a lot of geopolitical concerns. The jury's still out on what the Fed's going to do and inflation. And yet it seems like we're hitting new all-time highs every day. Are you surprised by that? And what do you make of what's going on right now?
Yeah, I am a little surprised, Rob. You know, I think the big surprise for me was that we didn't end up in recession last year. And without the recession, then I think that you have to step back and say that usually new highs in the stock market tend to be bullish. Now, the one little caveat on that is we know that a lot of the heavy lifting here is being done by a narrow group of the biggest stocks. And we don't really see that same type of strength from the rest of the market, the smaller stocks. That's what we'd really like to see to say, yes, this is a strong market, would be the rest of the market rallying behind those big boys. So that might be the thing to keep an eye out on, you know, over the next weeks and months is, do the big guys come back to the smaller stocks, which are languishing, or do the smaller stocks start to show a little more strength, which would be very encouraging?
Yeah, very good. All right, Mark, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for stopping by, answering some questions, and sharing some valuable information. We'll look forward to having you back real soon.
Thanks, Rob. Looking forward to it.
All right. That's Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. If you want some help with your investments, or you just want to learn more about investing through the lens of Scripture, go to soundmindinvesting.org, soundmindinvesting.org, and check out the 2024 Rebalancing Guide while you're there. All right, back with your questions on any financial topic. Stick around.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
Live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner and answer your questions on anything financial here in our final segment of the broadcast today. We probably have room for one more question between now and the end of the program. We've already got some folks holding. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Louisiana. Deborah, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to inform everybody that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana is once again ready to privatize, and that's going to mess up everybody who's on Blue Cross because they're going to get all the royalties. They said they're going to have a hearing, and you need to have anything you want to state into the Louisiana Department of Insurance by February 5th of this year. And the hearing, I believe, is going to be on the 14th and the 15th.
Okay. Yeah, very good. You know, that's a great reminder. A lot of folks concerned about that, you know, it may affect benefits to Blue Cross Blue Shield customers if that were to happen. So obviously your opportunity to weigh in on that is between now and, as Deborah said, February the 5th. So Deborah, thanks for sharing that with our listeners today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Rachel. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for answering my question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'm 75 years old. And I sold my home, and I'm concerned about, what do you call that, capital gain?
Capital gains tax. That I want. Yes, ma'am.
Taxes. I'm now living on the other side of my daughter's duplex and pay rent, you know.
Okay.
I guess, yeah.
Very good. So you lived in the home you sold two out of the previous 5 years, is that right?
Two, yeah.
You lived there at least two out of the last 5 years. Yeah. And what did you sell it for, Rachel?
I think it was three something.
Okay. That's fine. Let's just say it was $350,000. And do you know what you paid for it when you bought it originally?
I think. Well, you know, I only got about 60. It was about 60,000.
Was that the mortgage or what you originally bought it for?
Not 60,000 I bought it for. No. I was trying to say that I probably earned about 60,000 from what I paid for it.
Oh, I see. So you had about 60,000 in profit. Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah. So here's the way that works. As long as you live in your principal residence that you sell for two out of the prior 5 years when you sell it, then you get what's called a capital gains exclusion. And that goes for a single person, if you're filing your taxes as a single person, up to $250,000 in gains are excluded from capital gains tax. If you're married, that goes all the way up to $500,000. So you'd have to have more than $250,000 in gains before you would have to pay any capital gains tax, as long as the property you sold was your primary residence. And the definition of that is, you know, you living there two out of 5 years. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. And I'm grateful, you know, adjacent to that question is, I have Social Security annuity and a small pension, and I don't pay any taxes. Okay. I don't allow them to take up taxes. So I'm always paying a little something every year, like up to $15,000 or $2,000 between the two of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, even if you had capital gains, the capital gains rate is zero until your taxable income, not your capital gains, but your taxable income goes above $47,000. So if you didn't have $47,000 in taxable income, you're not going to pay capital gains on anything. But in this case, because it was your primary residence, you have that capital gains exclusion. So there are no capital gains due on this property sale. So sounds like you're in pretty good shape here, Rachel, but we appreciate you checking in with us. If we can help you further in the future, don't hesitate to call. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Utah. Hi, Lee. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm 43 years old, and I have a question about what I should do with my money. We have about $420,000 in retirement, and my employer contributes 14% regardless. And so we've been putting 10% extra on top of that for as long as we've been employed. We have no debt, but we owe $154,000 on our home. And I'm wondering if it would be better just to take that extra 10% every month and pay off our home. We figured out we could do it in about 5 years, but I just don't know if that would be prudent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. And I love what you're considering here, because I don't think it's ever a bad idea to become debt free. And what I would say is, right off the top, if you and your husband, Lee, just really have a conviction from the Lord, as you've thought about it, prayed about it, talked it through, that you should become debt free as soon as possible, then I'd say go for it and don't look back. But if you're comfortable, you know, continuing to pay this down, and let's say you set a goal to at a minimum have it paid off by the time you transition into retirement, because maybe you have a low interest rate, you know, you got this a while ago, and let's say you got a 2 or 3% interest rate, and you want to keep, you know, funding your retirement savings and let that compounded growth kick in, you know, over the next 20 years or so, you're probably on paper going to do better financially by keeping that mortgage, you know, continuing to work to pay it off, maybe accelerated by an extra payment or two a year, but, you know, keep funding that 401k so you get that compounded growth, you know, over the next couple of decades. That's probably the better option financially. But I would set all of that aside if you all really felt like you just, you know, have a conviction to be debt-free as quickly as possible. So give me your thoughts on that.
Yes, sir. So we have no debt, and we've worked really hard toward that, except for our home. And so that's one of the things that we sort of considered in prayer, is we really would like to not owe The other issue is we actually built the house. It's only a year old. And so that's what our mortgage started out with, was 150. So the interest rate is actually 6.3. So that's another reason
I'm
thinking that maybe we should go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And if you said you did the math, and how quickly would you have it paid off if you took that 10% and directed it toward the mortgage accelerated?
Yes, sir. We would have it paid off in 5 years, and we have about 15 years left of employment.
Okay, great. Have you done some retirement planning, Lee, just to determine what your ultimate retirement savings goal is so that you would have the ability to fund, you know, your expenses in that season of life, and recognizing that your budget is going to be less because you're going to be completely out of debt. You don't have the mortgage payment. You know, usually other expenses go down as well. We typically live on about 80% of our pre-retirement income in retirement, sometimes even less than that. But do you have an idea of what that goal is?
Yes, sir. I've worked with my financial advisor through my employment, and it looks like it's about anywhere from 1 to 1.2 million. So we're almost halfway there. And we've only been contributing for 13 years. So we have 15 left. And if we took 5 off, that would give us about 10 more years of contributing. But the school contributes regardless. So
Yeah, very good. And is this a 401k or a 403b or something else?
So it's mixed. The school contributes, and there's the 401k, but the money that we've been contributing is Roth. So we've already paid taxes on it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so I think the only thing to look at with your advisor is just kind of running the math out. For the next 15 years, 5 of which would be focused on paying down the house, and then 10 where you're just putting as much as you can, and just make sure that as you, let's say you were to max out the 401k and the Roths every year, you know, does that give you the ability to put away enough each year to ultimately reach your goal, losing those 5 years? And if not, that might be the only consideration, is that it's not a matter of you giving up necessarily the returns, because I agree with that higher interest rate on the mortgage. It makes paying that off more compelling from a financial standpoint. The bigger issue is probably giving up 5 years of the ability to put money away for retirement, because you've got caps. You know, your cap on 401k contributions this year is $23,000. Your cap on the Roth is $7,000 apiece. So between the two of you, you know, you could put away $14,000 plus $23,000. That's $37,000. So let's say you put the full amount away for those 10 years plus the compounding, you may find that you'll absolutely reach your goal just based on some conservative growth estimates, and you get the benefit of being out of debt much sooner. You know, if all of that works together, then I love it. And if you guys decide, you know what, regardless of the outcome of that planning exercise, we just want to be out of debt, then I would support that as well, because I think that's, you know, part of what you need to ask the Lord as a steward. But I think if you're wanting to look at all sides of this, I would do a little bit more planning just to make sure that the projections work out so that you can reach your goal by the time that you'd like to. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it's so helpful. Thank you so
Good.
Much.
You're welcome. I appreciate your call, Lee. Lord bless you guys. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and call back anytime. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Man, we've covered a lot of ground. Always great to have my friend Mark Biller by. We're grateful for your calls and the incredible questions, and for your desire to be found faithful as a steward. That's our goal here. We want to help you see God as your ultimate treasure, money as a tool to accomplish His purposes, and then help you make practical decisions and choices through the lens of a biblical worldview. I hope we did that and encouraged you along the way. Hey, on behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland, Evan Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day. And by the way, don't forget our campaign with Preborn. It's going on right now. You can learn more at AFR.net. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.